I solemnly swear that I will faithfully, diligently, and impartially execute and perform the duties required of me as a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and will well and truly obey and perform all lawful orders and instructions which I shall receive as such, without fear, favor, or affection of or towards any person. So help me God.
The Queen's Men. For the first time, authentic stories of the world-famous Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Tales of men who, for almost 100 years, have helped to keep peace in Canada. The Queen's Men. The Queen's Men. True stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Names have been changed for family protection. And now transcribe The Queen's Men.
So my little nephew says, what if you haven't gotten a clue at all to a murder? Where do you start?
Well, how did you answer that, Sergeant?
I explained that there's always some kind of a clue. There's always something.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I never run into one yet that didn't present something to go on.
Yes, Sergeant, well, that's a kind of good question. What if there weren't any clues, where would you start?
Guess I'll have to look that one up in the manual.
Reason I ask, you remember Constable Henry and that murder case of his out in Alberta?
No, what case do you mean, Bob?
Well, as I remember hearing it, there was one murder with not a single clue to start with.
Oh? How did it go?
Constable told me about it when he was visiting our headquarters a couple of years ago. I recall it because it looked so hopeless. Nowhere to start. Not sure if I remember how he handled every step of it, but...
Well, let's hear about the murder without any clues. Where did he start?
He started by being pretty generally bored. He was stationed out in the ranch country where all that ever happened was a bit of cattle thieving. Constable Henry was a man of action, and after a couple of months of inactivity...
I tell you, boys, if something doesn't turn up soon, just anything with a little life to... I'm fed up playing nursemaid to a team of horses and straightening out the quarrels of a bunch of bush sodbusters.
Constable Henry here, he figures he joined the force for a life of solid adventure, and it's gone and let him down. What is it in particular you'd like to occur, Constable?
Like I said, just something with some life to it. I don't mind telling you, man, I'm bored.
Why, that's pretty near treason. Ah, who we got here?
Excuse me, busting in. Officer, can I talk to you a minute?
Certainly.
My name's Charlie Underhill. I've just ridden in 30 miles from Aiken. Hey, listen, something awful's happened. Oh, dear. Do you mind if I sit down?
No, help yourself. What do you mean, Mr. Underhill? What's happened?
They found the head of a dead man back at my place this morning.
What?
Yes, sir, right on my property. Just the head. I saw it. Oh, it was awful. I figured I'd better ride over pronto and let you know. I don't want to get mixed up in no murder.
Now, let's have this story straight. Who found it?
A friend of mine, Fred Jakes. He was hunting for turkey nest, Sergeant. Are you, Sergeant?
No, Constable. This is Constable Henry you've been talking to.
Oh, howdy. I'm glad to meet you. Yeah. Well, I don't mean I'm glad. I wish I didn't have to get mixed up in this at all. You know, you fellas, you start getting suspicious of everybody and asking a lot of questions.
Well, look, hold on. We have a lot of questions to ask. You're right about that. But we're not suspicious of you just because this was discovered on your property. Not unless you start acting suspicious. Now, you say your friend was looking for turkey nests.
Yes, sir. It looked like the turkeys had scratched up this head.
Did anyone recognize the features?
No, nobody knows them, and there's no one missing around our way. Gee, that face sure looked awful. We figured the body must be around somewhere.
You didn't change anything or dig for the body?
I'll say not. We didn't touch a thing. No, sir. We figured it was a job for the police.
There was nothing else around?
Nope, nothing, no. That is, nothing but a black cap all covered with grease that my young brother Pete picked up a few weeks ago. Oh, he's wearing it right now.
Well, we'll ride back with you and have a look around.
Right now?
Yeah. Jack, you get the horses?
Yeah, right away.
Well, do you mind if I give my horse a drink before we start back?
No, help yourself. It's around the side.
All right, thank you, Constable.
Well, Ed, you remember what you were saying a few minutes ago?
What's that?
Wanted something to turn up, with a little life to it. Well, it turned up all right, but it sure doesn't sound very lifelike.
Turkeys that dislodged this turf. Take a look here, Jack.
What is it?
Look at these claw marks and the gray hairs. Coyotes have been trying to get at that body.
You're right.
Dig a little more in this direction, boys. A little to the left of where you are now.
I hope we don't have to dig too deep, Constable. We're starting to hit a lot of stones here.
Now, my hunch is you're going to hit that body pretty soon.
All the earth I've turned over on this farm. Never thought I'd be doing this kind of excavating.
Come over here a minute, will you, Jack?
You find something?
No. I've just been thinking. You know, something puzzles me.
Yeah?
This murdered man is obviously a stranger around here. Not one of these farmers had ever seen him before.
That's right.
But the man must have been around here before he was murdered. Someone must have seen him alive. These sodbusters will pick out a stranger any time and remember him for months afterwards.
Well, of course, the corpse could have been packed here from a distance. The job may have been done, 100 miles away.
Yeah, but why take the chance of discovery by burying it right at a person's back door when the murderer had the whole wide-open prairie to choose from?
Maybe it's someone with a grudge against Charlie Underhill. Someone who wanted to throw suspicion on him. Maybe one of his neighbors, for all we know.
Yeah, you may be right. Maybe one of the same men are digging for the body at this moment.
Hey, Constable Henry! Come here, we've hit something here.
Come on, Jack.
You found the body?
Yeah, it looks like it. Looks like blue jean overall he's got on at you. Hard to tell exactly with all the dirt there. Keep shoveling, fellas. Go on.
Yeah, it's a body, all right. Looks to be still in a good state of preservation.
All right, keep going, man. We'll haul it out. Looks like we should find a few clues now, Ed.
Mm.
All right, men.
I'll give you a hand with that.
Yep. There he is.
Now, let's see what we've got. Well, the overalls have an Atlantic City tag.
Oh, felt like he came a long way to get himself murdered, didn't he?
Nothing much in the pockets. Country Fair badge, dated October 18th. Piece of quartz and a pipe.
So all we know is he probably came up from the States within the last 3 months, lived in Atlantic City, attended a fair last October, and was buried here sometime in April.
April?
Yeah. Look at that shallow grave. If the ground wasn't frozen, whoever buried him would have dug deeper. And the body couldn't have been buried last summer, or it wouldn't be in such good shape. I'd say the grave was dug early this spring.
Say, you're right there, Constable. You know, I tried to sink a fence post around the end of April, but when I got down a foot or so, I had to quit. Frost was still in the ground.
Well, by the bullet wounds in the head, he was shot twice behind the ear. Whoever did it certainly did a good, thorough job.
It's terrible to think of someone committing murder like that, you know. And right on my property, Joe. Say, maybe it was a suicide.
Charlie, suicides don't, as a rule, bury themselves.
Oh, no, I guess you're right about that, Constable. By the way, I noticed you sent all the other fellows home after they dug up the, what's his name here? Nice of you to let me hang around. Must say it's pretty interesting.
I'll confess our motive isn't to provide you with entertainment, Mr. Underhill. The body was found on your property. And you mentioned your brother found a cap a few weeks ago. Was it around here that he found it?
Well, now, I never asked him. That's my young brother, Pete. He was... just an old cap, all greasy. But he started wearing it.
Perhaps he noticed something else. I'd like to have a talk with your family next.
Oh, sure. I guess they won't mind.
Jack, you might start questioning the neighbors again. See if any of them can remember seeing a stranger around here a while ago.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Now, we'll see what we can put together this afternoon and compare notes back at headquarters.
Constable, this is my sister, Muriel Underhill.
How do you do, miss?
Muriel is Constable Henry of the Mounties.
This is a terrible thing that's happened, finding what you did right on our property.
Yes, miss, I'm sorry I have to trouble you, but just a few routine questions.
Yeah, of course.
How many are there in your family?
There's Paul and Muriel and me and my young brother, Pete.
That's all?
Well, that's all, yeah, except
another brother of ours. But he left home 15 years ago after Mother died. I've looked after the family ever since. Oh, Constable, haven't you any idea who the murdered man is?
No, but I imagine we'll get an identification sooner or later. Now, this other brother you mentioned, does he ever come home?
No, he doesn't. He writes now and then, that's all.
What's his name?
Duncan. Duncan Underhill.
Where does he live?
Oh, he moves around. We never know where he's going to turn up next. Last time we heard from him, he was at, I'm afraid I can't remember. Charlie, do you remember the name of the place?
No, I never saw the letter, Muriel. You lost it, remember?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'll try to remember, Constable, if you think it can help any.
No, I don't think it matters much. The main thing I'd like you all to do is to think back, try to recall if you saw any strangers around here about April. And then I'd like to talk to young Pete.
Not a thing, Ed. Not one of them remembers seeing anybody in April who doesn't live in that area.
You think they're telling the truth?
Seems to me they are. What did you find out from the Underhill family?
Well, they don't know anything either. You know, I'm inclined to believe that these hard-working settlers wouldn't be implicated in a thing like this.
And where do we go from here?
Well, I did get one thing. Not much. This.
What is it? Magazines?
Half a dozen of them, sewn together with binder twine. The Underhill boy found them on the trail about the same time he found the cap, near the spot where the body was buried.
Let's have a look at them.
Well, I've already been through them. The only possible clue is this.
Huh?
If you look very closely here, on the cover, the top one, see?
Yeah.
The faint pencil marks.
Oh, yeah. What, is it a name? I can hardly make out.
Yeah, well, now look under the magnifying glass. Here.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, it looks like N. L. What's that? Rainer, or.
Yeah, or Raymer. The I isn't dotted.
Well, as you say, it isn't much.
No. That name could belong to a total stranger to this area. The fact of it is, Jack, we have to trail down an unknown murderer with no clues other than a description of the victim, a greasy cap, and a bundle of magazines.
Well, if that's all we have to go on, I can only suggest that we get started right away.
In just a moment, we'll return for the second part of this true story of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. The Queen's Men. And now we return you to The Queen's Men.
Report to Inspector Jeffries, RCMP Headquarters, Ottawa, from Constable Henry, Alberta Post. Search begun for slayer of man found buried on Underhill Farm. Accompanied by Constable Jack Howard, I first questioned neighbors in near surrounding area, then moved west, visiting farms and ranches, and inquiring about two strangers seen last April. Could give only description of murdered man and carried with us his clothing. Response, nil.
Sorry, Constable, but that stuff you got don't mean anything to me. Blue jeans,
Every man for 100 miles around wears blue jeans like that.
Yes, I'm aware of that. But look, this jacket is a little unusual. I'm hoping to find someone who remembers seeing a man wearing this jacket. Oh, yes, and there's the cap.
Here it is, Constable.
Thanks. I realize this cap is pretty standard, too, but it's all we've got to go on. So I'd appreciate it if you'd think back and try to remember if you might have seen a stranger around your ranch in April.
What did he look like, Constable?
Well, he was about 5'8", weighing approximately 170 pounds, sandy hair, blue eyes, thin mouth.
Sounds kind of ordinary. Not the sort of fellow you'd remember very long.
Yes, but he may have been in the company of someone else. The murderer. Well, we don't know that, of course, but we have no description of him. Look, please, try to think. Do you recall seeing a stranger or strangers in this vicinity about April?
Well, now, let's see. I don't... Well, now, wait. Yeah, there was a fella hanging around here.
Yeah?
Looking for a job in my ranch.
What did he look like?
That wouldn't be him. Why, come to think of it, that was a year ago, April.
Oh, I think we better move on, Constable.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk to Hank Albritton down at Crossroads Farm? He's a guy that remembers folk.
We've seen him. We've talked to everyone in the area. Well, thank you anyway, sir.
No, don't mention it. Good luck to you. Hope you find it.
Well, time to start on the towns, I think, Ed. Stores, banks, land offices.
Yeah, and restaurants and hotels.
All right, Becky. We're going to hit the trail again.
The horses like the search anyway.
Yeah. I sure like to get out.
No wonder people look at us as if we're kind of crazy. A bundle of clothes and no idea whether it was one man or two. No idea their names.
Except maybe Raynor.
Or Raymer. Maybe.
Well, Constable, let's not get discouraged. Sooner or later, we'll pick up his trail. Hold still, Becky. And when we do, it'll just be a matter of time.
Yeah, all right, then. We'll start scouring the town, starting with Gold Creek.
Right.
Come on. Yeah. He was short, with sandy hair, blue eyes, thin mouth. He may have registered in this hotel under the name of Raynor or Raymer. Please think back. It was probably in April. These are the clothes he was wearing. We believe he was from Atlantic City. Do you remember anyone answering that description, picking up mail here? It would probably be addressed general delivery. I'm sorry to bother you, ma'am, but if you could possibly remember anyone wearing these clothes coming into the bar around April. Short man, probably had an American accent. It would help a lot if you could remember. I don't suppose there's the chance that you ever saw him.
Yeah, sure. I think I see that fella.
What? You do? Well, did he stay at your boarding house here?
Oh, no, but we used to eat at the same place. I remember on account of that jacket. I always like a red jacket like that. I always wanted one. And I asked this fellow where he got it.
Do you remember what he said?
No, I can't remember where he said. Somewhere I couldn't get to, I think.
Atlantic City?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you taking this down, Jack?
Yes, I've got it.
Now then, look, do you remember this man's name?
No, not his last name. We used to call him the Kid.
The Kid?
That was what his buddy called him.
Well, then there was someone else hanging around with him.
Oh, yeah. You're a big guy. I didn't like him much. Big 6-footer in black sombrero. Said they was looking for a quarter section around here. He was one of the Underhills. Duncan Underhill.
Underhill? Are you sure?
Yeah.
That's the one they say left home 15 years ago.
That's how I remember. This big fellow, this Duncan, he was asking about his family, where they were living now.
And you directed him?
Huh?
You told him where they were living?
Oh, sure, yes. They got a farm about 20 miles
out. Yes, I know. Look, now, can you remember anything else about these men? Anything at all?
Like what?
Well, where else in town they might have gone, or who else knew them?
Oh, they only hung around a couple of days. Then I never saw them again.
Well, is there anyone in town who would know the name of the young man that you call the Kid?
Oh, maybe down at the pool hall. They used to play a lot of pool, maybe, I think.
Good. Thank you very much for your help. Your information's been very valuable. We'll be back to talk to you later. In the meantime, I'd appreciate it if you'd go back in your mind and try to recall every detail of these men, their conversation, appearance, anything at all.
Sure, I do that.
Jack, you go down to the pool hall, see what you can find out. I'm going back to question the Underhill family again.
Understand that, Constable Henry, and I just don't understand it all. My brother Duncan. Well, I ain't seen him in 15 years.
Well, you're quite sure of that, Charlie?
Sure? Well, sure I'm sure. I wouldn't even know what he looks like.
Well, that's a funny thing, because the man I was just talking to swore he was in town in April.
Well, how do you know it was Duncan?
Well, apparently your brother told him.
Then maybe it wasn't Duncan at all. Maybe some other fella. If he was a murderer, then naturally he might take another name, mightn't he?
Well, murderers don't usually take the name of an actual person whose family lives in the area. What does your brother look like?
Oh, well, now, 15 years ago. Oh, dear. Well, he was just a kid, Constable.
No pictures of him around anywhere?
No, not even a snap. Duncan, he never cared much about his family. Only Muriel, she's the only one he even ever writes to. And what? Oh, well, that's a funny coincidence. The letter came for her from Duncan just today.
Where is it?
It's right there on the table. She hasn't come in yet. Say, what are you doing, Constable?
Is this the letter here?
Yeah, but wait a minute. It's addressed to my sister.
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to intercept this letter, Charlie.
Oh, you can't do that, Constable.
I'm authorized to do so. You say your brother had nothing to do with the crime?
Well, I'm positive. Do I look like I'm lying?
No, you don't. I've always felt you were telling the truth, Charlie. So if you are, then this letter can't do any of you any harm. But it might answer a few questions for me.
I didn't get much information at the pool hall, Ed. They confirmed the descriptions, that's all.
Well, I found something, Jack.
That letter? What is it?
From Duncan Underhill to his sister Muriel. Postmark McDermott, Alberta. Listen. Dear Muriel, I'm settled in here and found the piece of land I've been looking for, so thought I'd let you know. Don't give anyone my address, but if anything interesting happens, let me know so I can keep up with things. Incidentally, if you happen to get a letter from a Mr. Roller...
Roller? Rainer? Raymer? Or Roller?
Could be. Letter from a Mr. Roller in Atlantic City, asking about his son. Forward it to me and don't bother mentioning it to anyone. Young Roller was thinking of buying in with me, but went back to the States several months ago, but before that night I dropped in to see you. He said at the time that he wasn't going home and his father might start hunting for him, so like I say, if you hear from him, I'll be glad to help him any way I can. That's all for now. Best, son.
Well, this doesn't prove Duncan Underhill did the killing.
Well, it certainly bears out the story that he was in this area and that he knew young Roller.
You think the victim is Roller, then?
Well, I certainly suspected it, but I'm afraid we'll have to get the boy's father up here from Atlantic City to identify him. I've already wired him, sent the report to Atlantic City Police.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile?
Well, while we're waiting for identification, we'll contact the authorities in McDermott and make some inquiries about Duncan. It looks like we're getting warm, Jack, and about time.
Yes, that's my son, all right.
I'm sorry, Mr. Roller. Very sorry we had to expose you to this. Would you come into the other room now?
I've been worrying about him for months. He was always going off, getting one scheme or another. I never thought this would happen to him.
It's a vicious crime, Mr. Roller. And we're going to see that justice is done. You can be sure of that.
Anything I can do to help.
Did you ever hear your son mention a man named Duncan Underhill?
Underhill? No, I don't think so.
Tell me, why did he leave home?
He was coming up here to Canada to buy a ranch. I didn't want him to come all this way, but he said he'd been advised he could get a good buy up here.
Who advised him, do you know?
He didn't say. Just that it was a friend of his who lived somewhere around here, knew the country, knew the values. Someone whose family had always lived here, he said.
That sounds like Duncan.
So my boy set off with all his money.
Money?
Yes. He just got a legacy from an uncle of his. $10,000.
Ah, there we are. Up to now, there's been no motive for the crime. $10,000 would be quite an incentive, I should think.
I've got some information on... Oh, I'm sorry, Constable. I didn't realize.
Now, this is Mr. Roller, Constable Howard.
How do you do?
What is it, Constable? Anything on Underhill?
Yes. He's going by the name of Tom Spaulding.
Uh-huh.
Got a ranch just outside McDermott. Bought it 2 months ago for $10,000 cash.
Hey, Jack, over here.
Oh, there you are. I didn't recognize you in your slouch hat and dungarees.
You look pretty good yourself. I don't think Duncan will spot us. That is, if he ever turns up at this saloon.
Oh, they seem to think he'll show sooner or later.
You tried his ranch again?
Yeah, I just came from there. Say, what happened when you talked with Muriel Underhill?
Well, she finally broke down and confessed that Duncan dropped in at the farm in April, late one night. None of the others knew he was there.
So Charlie was telling the truth?
Yep, he didn't know a thing about it. The sister's pretty worried. I think she suspects Duncan did it, all right.
Hey, Ed.
What?
There's our man. Just came in.
Yeah, it looks like him. You're right.
Yeah, someone talking to him. We better wait until he's alone. Less chance of starting a brawl.
Come on, we'll stroll over towards him.
Sure, you do that, Harry. You give me a price on the steers and I'll think it over. All right, so long.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
Are you Tom Spaulding?
Oh, yeah. What do you fellas want?
You mean Tom Spaulding's the name you go by?
Well, sure, it's the name I go by.
Duncan Underhill good enough for you?
What do you mean?
All right, you just come along with us. I'm Constable Henry of the Mounted Police. You're under arrest for murder.
And that's the way it happened. Arrested him and proved him guilty, too.
One minute it looked like they didn't have a thing to go on, and the next they were hot on the trail.
When I tell this to my nephew, I wince when I think of his surefire remark.
And what's that?
Then it's true, isn't it, Uncle, that the Mounties always get their man?
The Queen's Men, authentic stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Music under the direction of Sidney Torch. Script and adaptation under the supervision of John Adaskin. Produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.